been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we are ready for a red eye review, and you don't have your red eyes. You didn't take a red eye. You're fresh from Minnesota. You had an early morning flight.
I did have my red eyes. Everybody loved it. But I just saw fresh off the plane, got the sleepy still on, and what a wonderful trip, man. I mean, apart from breaking down this atrocious performance.
Oof.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
I have so much great things. I don't even know where to start.
All right, well, I'll give you a starting point. So a listener of the show, friend of ours, Dave Ernest, he found out that you were going to the game, and he wants to know about their stadium. Brand new. They designed it to look like a Viking ship. He wants your review of the stadium before we talk about the game.
Great. Dave, I'd be more than happy to put it out there for you. My review: the best stadium I've ever been to.
Really?
It blows M&T Bank out of the water, only because it's an indoor facility.
Yeah.
And I feel like our amenities and what we're doing with the screens and the escalators and the other screens next year, I feel like from an outdoor environment, M&T is one of the best in the business.
Right.
I mean, you know, they could beef up the sound system, whatever. U.S. Bank Stadium, wow. I mean, I'm like walking around and I'm just like, in all, we did a whole trip around the stadium. We got both pictures of the other side, and the nicest indoor stadium. I've been to Detroit. I've been to Indianapolis. Both of them are top notch. My cousin's been to Dallas. I'm not compared to Jerry's World. I've never been down there.
Yeah.
But, and I joke with him on the phone. I said, dude, this stadium's nice. He goes, I don't know. Jerry's World's pretty nice. But I felt like this thing, I mean, them hosting the Super Bowl in a few months, it's going to be incredible. And it's like, sucks that, you know, the way it looks like the Ravens probably won't be there. Vikings could well be on their way to be the first team to play in their own home city.
A couple Ravens might be there, but they'll be buying a seat with the rest of the fans.
Well, of course. I actually was tempted. I was like, I'm going to see prices. I might go back. I already know the layout of the city.
Yeah.
Stadium. Dude, wow. I'm speechless. I mean, the thing is just a beautifully crafted facility.
Yeah.
Everything's up to date. It's clean. It's fresh. I can't gush out, and I'll be posting pictures soon. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to yet. And you're right, the front of the stadium is built to make look like a ship. They have like a sail that's like a LED screen, and then they have like the shields on the side of it with the Viking logo, and then the little crest of the ship. It's great, man. I had pictures of it. I was blown away. We're just walking to it, and I'm just like, wow. Like, you can see it from the other side of the city. It's beautiful. Asking the fans beforehand, incredible.
Yeah.
Can't say enough. The Super Bowl is going to have a treat for Super Bowl 52.
All right, so that's the design and everything. Let's talk about your experience inside the stadium for the game. Talk to me what it was like to be a part of. You know, do the Vikings fans, do they, like, we're Ravens Nation, do they have like a name or whatever, their group of fans?
It's not like Viking Nation or anything, but they do a fan thing. I mean, it was a great fan experience. I mean, fans around me were nice.
Yeah.
You know, we were going back and forth a little bit.
Well, like, Minnesota is known for like being nice, right? Like, they're
we joked, and it was kind of crazy how they beef up the rivalry. You know how we have Ravens Steelers. You know how the NFC North is with, you know, they have the Bears and Packers. Well, the Packers are like, they're right next door.
Right.
In the Green Bay and like Wisconsin, Minnesota are next door neighbors. You know how obviously they had a big home game the week prior and knocked out Aaron Rodgers for the year. It was a big game.
Yeah.
Some of the fans were wearing these lanyards with a little collarbone, and it had a 12 on it. It was Aaron Rodgers' collarbone.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we were loving it. I'm like, you guys are awesome. I said, it's like what we do with Ravens Steelers, like taking to extreme. I said, and they were joking, as long as you weren't wearing cheeseheads or Packers colors, you're fine.
Oh,
I mean, they would give you a hard time, like here. It's like, but you know, fans were wonderful, man. It's, you know, they were all asking, did you fly in from Baltimore? And you you know what? You know what's awesome?
What's that?
I did share the call to a lot of people. Hopefully they listen to the show. A lot of Ravens fans, just like how we get on the show from all over the world, especially Canada.
Yeah.
Ravens fans from Winnipeg, Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
From the Peg.
He sat right next to him. There, guy wearing a Bolden jersey, another guy wearing a Ravens jersey, but his friend was a Buccaneers fan. He just wanted to support his friend.
Yeah.
He was wearing his Bucks t-shirt underneath, but he wore a Ravens hoodie. They're from Winnipeg.
Wow.
Yeah, Manitoba up there. And I'm like, how'd you guys become Ravens fans? It's almost the same story. I'm not saying everybody's story is the same and don't want to water down, but they're like, he's like, no, I watched Ed Reed and Ray Lewis years ago and was glued to the team. That's how he started.
Interesting.
We were out after the game, out at a bar watching some, you know, eating some wings, watching the league games. Ravens fans next to us on the table. There's a Ravens fan wearing a Ray Lewis jersey with a Vikings fan. Asked him again. You know, he had the Canadian accent, and it was great. And I was like, obviously, you're from the north. And he was wearing Ray Lewis. I said, how did you get involved? He goes, started with 2000. I got lax on the defense, the team. They won a title, and rest is history. He's been a fan since. And he goes, for thick and thin, I'm here. Drove down from Canada. It was like a 6 or 8 hour drive, depending on where they're at. His friend was a Vikings fan. They're all from Canada. You know, we were talking, obviously, hockey. We're talking football. He's wanting to come to Baltimore. So I told him, I was giving him some layouts. Like, you know, I mentioned some of the amenities, and Fells Point told him you have to go there. I was showing him some pictures on the phone, so it was like, it was a great fan experience. And they do this thing, and I showed you the video, I'm going to be posting it. They do the thing called Skull Vikings.
Okay.
You ever heard of it?
I've not.
No, you know what Skull means. I mean, no. I kind of gave you a rundown history lesson, but
yeah, tell me a little bit more. I have
no idea. S-K-O-L. You'll see the hashtag out there was Skull Chant.
Uh-huh.
Skull Vikings is the greeting. And I'm like, what is this thing? And I'm going to pull it up. It's actually fascinating. I had a nice history lesson. I just wanted to go here. And while we're on the call, breaking news, we signed a tight end, Gavin Escobar. Well,
that's a great sign.
We cut Tootie Bergstrom. So there you go.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I just pull up my phone and get breaking news here as happens. But anyway, obviously Vikings, Nordic, all that stuff tying in. It was great. Just see like Vikings fans dressed to nines in their Viking attire, and you know how Ravens do it. This is what Skull means in a rundown. Because I was like, what's Skull mean? And tying in Vikings, it says right here, back in the Middle Ages, ramping bands of Vikings were roaming Europe and kicking the crap out of people, like just like conquering lands as the old times did. And obviously, this is on Google. Anybody can see it. It says, at the end of the battle, Viking warriors would decapitate the king or leader of the tribe that they just vanquished, and they would drink from their skull. But in the old times, it was spelled S-K-O-L-L for skull. Sounds gruesome, I know. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, like, Skull Vikings, and we're talking about drinking from skulls. How Halloweenish. It's perfect. I mean, hey, it's more Poish, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hadn't wrote about it. But here it says, in battle, the Vikings would urge each other before by yelling skull to one another. By doing so, they were yelling and telling each other to keep it up so they could drink from the skull. And in a translation, skull means to drink from a bowl. So it's really fascinating how they tied that in.
Yeah.
And the fan experience. I mean, their entrances were similar to ours with the pillars, and they had a ship like how we have the pillars now and have the smoke coming out.
Right.
And the pyrotechnics, and they had the whole – and I think the Ravens sort of adopted it, but then got away from it. Was like the whole defend the North thing, because we're from the AFC North, and I've always loved that. And they did a whole video montage with all players, and have John Randall screaming, defend the North, and the whole place goes crazy. So it was like from a fan experience, I mean – you're like, hey, dude, you sound all excited for a loss. I mean, loss is a loss. We'll break that down. But just from a fan experience in that stadium and Skull Vikings, wow. Like, they do their own little thing up there, and it's great. And the fans could be welcoming. The city was awesome. I could go on all morning. Guys were fresh off the plane in the morning.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
But, like, your day didn't stop after that Ravens terrible loss. You kept going, and you actually, WWE was in town.
That was a surprise. I saw some of them at the stadium.
Some were at the game. I think Bailey was there, and Sheamus and Cesaro and Titus O'Neil were there. But you decided, you texted me and were like, dude, TLC's in town. I didn't know it was from Minneapolis. And I said, well, you have to go.
It was 3 blocks from our hotel, the arena was. I'm like, I gotta go.
It's
like
a 5 minute
walk. And I told someone, I said, it'd be different if they were like a half hour away, had to get an Uber. I'm like, I'm gonna pay 25 $30 Uber ride just to go see. I said, I'll watch my iPad. But when they were literally blocks away, I'm right. like, you got to go see it. And pay-per-view is better live, I feel like, because, you know, I've been the Raws, I've been the SmackDowns, and the fans behind me agree, when you go to those live, you get a watered-down version because of so many commercial breaks. It's right. boring. And I don't know if you've been to a live show, not to deter you from that, but it was my first pay-per-view live event. And I loved it because it's nonstop action. It was great.
Yeah.
I showed you a lot of pictures and videos. It was great. I had an action-packed Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was great. And, wow, I really couldn't say enough about the environment.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see Kurt Angle's return after 11 years. You got to see Finn Balor versus AJ Styles.
Once in a lifetime
A dream match that people have been dying to
Everybody
see
was like,
for
this is WrestleMania
years.
Main event worthy.
100% it is, yeah. I mean, in New Japan, Finn Balor was the leader of the Bullet Club. He
and
left.
Speaking of Japan, is in, what was it, Asuka?
Asuka, she debuted. Yeah, I mean, it was a big night for a wrestling fan, and
it was great.
Just so happened to be there, and I was
and
like, "Dude, you gotta
Bliss
go."
Retained.
Alexa Bliss, absolutely good.
It's great. It's one of my favorites, so I was happy to see that.
Yeah,
but you're right, man. I had a crazy Sunday. Tailgating wasn't really tailgating, but I was asking me, especially Jim, who tailgated with us down from Pennsylvania for the Bears game. He was like, "How's tailgating?" We did a little variation.
Yeah,
because we woke up. Obviously, the game was at noon because it's Central Time, so it's 1 o'clock East Coast, so it's noon. We woke up, and we were all hungry, obviously, being an away game. We didn't know where to go tailgate. We didn't feel like trying to find out where the Ravens fans were and, like, paying all that money. So we actually did the steakhouse that we were next to. My God, the best. Oh, my God. Manny's Steakhouse.
Good stuff?
I mean, you open up, it's like $70 filet mignons. I mean, you know you're at a good joint.
Yeah, you got two of those.
We did their breakfast buffet. They had shrimp cocktail in the morning. I had like a plate full of like 20 shrimp. I took advantage of it.
Nice.
So we did a little breakfast buffet as a group, had Ravens fans here, had Vikings fans here, we were talking, and then we kind of did our own thing. You know, we went out, you know, for a brunch, and then we walked to the stadium and enjoyed the festivities around the stadium. So we didn't really like hardcore tailgating, playing cornhole, but I've seen the stuff that you did. I mean, I feel like we do it awesome.
Do they do that in Minnesota?
They do. They do?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they had, it was more or less towards the stadium.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, ours, you know, we walked several blocks to the stadium, and I felt like it was one of those environments. It was still a football town. You felt the environment.
Yeah.
You knew it was Football Sunday. You seen all. It was great because like the stadium, the seats are purple. Vikings fans wearing purple, and there was like a lot of camo pants, a lot of stuff. And I'm like, you had to really look to see if they're a Ravens fan or a Vikings fan. So it was really like awesome to see just purple everywhere. So can't say enough about the experience, man.
Very cool. I mean, if I checked it out, I don't think the Minnesota Wild were in town. I mean, they have a hockey team as well. But
no, they weren't. I did check on that. So I was like, if I'd got a trifecta and got a hockey game,
that would have been cool.
Or a Timberwolves. But I knew the TLC event, I didn't think any of them would be home this weekend because that's the arena they used.
It's true.
I saw a glimpse of Target Field. It looks state of the art from where I could see it. I saw it at night. My weekend was awesome. We got in Saturday, but I don't know if I told you the experience about Mall of America.
No, you haven't.
Holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah?
It's like, you know how Run the Mills is?
Yeah.
Try putting like six Run the Mills together.
Wow.
You have a mall.
Wow.
Huge.
That's insane.
It has an amusement park in the middle. Has a log ride.
Did you go on it?
Oh, yeah. It has this roller coaster that goes upside down. Goes, you know the Fahrenheit in Hershey Park?
Yeah.
Kind of similar, where it went up straight up on the hill and then dropped you down and went through a loop and a corkscrew.
Oh, wow.
Had a whole stinking amusement park. Had all kinds of stuff. We did a log ride. Best thrill ride I've ever been, because it was a treat, because we didn't know. So I'm like, we're on this log ride, and it's like, it didn't look like it got that wet, but I had, because it was raining on Saturday toward the mall, so we did indoor activities. We went in there and had my Ravens like kind of like pull over rain gear on.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it looks like you can get wet. I said, I didn't mind getting wet. It was hot in the mall. I was wearing a sweatshirt. I said, I'm hot. Let's go. And we get there. We're waiting in the log ride. So the log ride, it takes you around. Just, you know, if you've ever been on one of those, it takes you around. It had it decorated like Halloween. Like all kinds of stuff jumping at you. Like werewolves.
Cool.
It was great. Then we get to the dip and we go down to the dip. It was fun. I'm like, I didn't get that wet. So we're all laughing, high-fiving. We're going around. I'm like, where's the end of the ride? So we go up on another hill, and we're like, there's another big hill. It was even bigger. So we got another dip, and we go down, and I got soaked.
Got soaked.
So it was like a surprise. And we're all like, people must have thought we were nuts, because we're all like laughing, high-fiving, carrying on, thinking like we're big kids or something. And people are like having their cell phones, like pointing and looking. They're probably taping us. We're having, I don't care. We're having a blast. And the food there was crazy. There's so many restaurants. The Mall of America, if you're out in that area, you got to go. I mean, not to say buy a $100 flight or whatever just to go out to the mall, but
yeah. You're there,
dude,
do it.
But, dude, like, you could be. We were there like 8 hours in the mall. I think we walked it. It was levels and levels of stores. So many food courts. So many options. And I will say this: we went outside to the front of the mall, took a picture, and we're like, no, that's a couple of players. We ran into some Ravens players at the mall.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, we ran into. I took a picture with Chris Wormley, Ricard and Jermaine Luminor. They were out front, gracious enough to take a picture. I was talking to them for a bit, and then we're up at not to tattle on them, but I was like, I was getting a smoothie from the yogurt smoothie place next door. I see Tyus Bowser at Grey Cookie.
Oh,
he's getting a little cookie. So I said, not that I don't know if it hinders performance, but I was like, I don't want to tattle on him. But but Ray Lewis always said to a lot of those guys, like, you'd be surprised, like, someone go to Burger King the night before. And, like, Ray never did that, but he's like, they get Whoppers and stuff. And you can hear on his podcast, he talks about it. But, ran into Tyus Bowser there. I saw Kamala Carrera and Bronson Confusi. They were there. They were just around, just chilling.
Yeah.
No one knew who they were. But we point them out. We're like, and I've always joked. I'm like, when we leave, I'm probably like, how do the fans know who we are? So I'm like, they're like not like Joe Flacco or Blake Wallace walking around.
Yeah.
It's not to see these guys are no names, but it's like who they are. But we knew exactly who they were.
A little lower on the totem pole.
When you see a big old guy in a hoodie
and
sliders and Jermaine Luminor had his number on his back of his little Raven shirt.
Well, there's a dead giveaway.
Like, dude. Yeah, day giveaway.
Yeah.
But they were there enjoying the mall and great, great festive environment. So all those events, and we still had a football game.
That's right.
Still had a football game on Sunday.
Man, oh boy, this is going to be a one. Let's start off, I guess, where the beginning of the game happened. Joe got sacked on the first or second play. His head bounces off the turf. I thought he was going to leave the game for a concussion protocol.
We saw the replay on the big screens, and I was like, I'm surprised he's still in the game.
Yeah, but Mike Wallace gets hit. And Mike Wallace, a monster hit. His helmet goes flying off. He hits his head on the turf. And immediately I go, concussion, he's out for the rest of the day. I'm like, we can just completely not count on him at this moment. And the Ravens actually did that. They had him go through concussion protocol and did keep him out of the game. Now, even though that left Joe with pretty much no wide receivers, 100% agree with the call. He should not have played the rest of that game.
Well, you could do further damage. You'd rather keep him safe. And that probably explains the exchange I saw, because being at the game live, you probably don't see this on TV.
Yeah.
But he was walking, because right where my seats were, obviously seeing how low I was, they walked right past us, and he was talking to a staff member, and he was doing this, and he was animated. I don't know if he was mad at the game or mad at the situation, because I didn't know he had a concussion until after that.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm still wondering what his problem was, because I'm like, he's walking around, he's fine. I'm thinking like, okay, but then when I saw the replay, I'm thinking it had to be a concussion. So they went back, and that's probably why his exchange, because he had that fire. And that's what I wanted to see from the Ravens.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know if he was mad at the fact he got a concussion or mad that he couldn't play, but it came to
He probably doesn't know what he was mad about. With a concussion like that.
The media I've read so far, they were saying that how his intensity and fire, he wanted to be out there and he was held back, but he's got to know that you can't go out there with a concussion-like symptoms. But, again, when we lost our top target, I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point, man, because even the national media, it was on the side of the Ravens saying, like, they feel for us because of how decimated we are.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show you some excerpts of some of the guys that were covering the game. Apparently, Greg Gumbel and online covered our game. He was quoted by saying this. Quote, Joe Flacco has been under a lot of criticism and heat back in Baltimore for his play this year. Hard to blame him right now when you really got no one to throw to.
Correct.
And we were saying that in the stands. But then it's like, I look, not to discredit the players on the Vikings or who they got, but I'm like, they got Case Keenum, they got these receivers other than Adam Thielen, and I can't even name one. And I'm like, but they're going up and down the field. All these other teams are going up and down the field. You still got to make the plays, but you're right. When you got third and fourth stringers out there, and Chris Moore and
undrafted
Michael Campanaro.
Players who show up from,
our receivers
from
are
Wednesday.
Chris Moore and Michael Campanaro.
Yeah. And a guy we picked up last Wednesday, Griffin Whalen.
Right.
Which
I thought he had a solid game.
I mean, he did, but he also
right.
hasn't played this entire season.
No, he hasn't.
He's been unsigned.
It's just, even the national media there, just, again, you don't want to make excuses for a Flacco's player, this and that, but when your Pro Bowl lineman goes down.
Yeah.
And he's going to take the sacks like that, but my beef is here. Like I said, I know my feelings on Marty and the offensive position, the coordinator, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, if he's not fired after the game, I'm going to be shocked. Granted, I forgot it was a short week because we got to turn around in a few days and play another game here, which is special. We got two games in a matter of days here.
Yeah.
But the scheme, you're not setting your players up for success when it's third and fourth. Level with me here, third and fourth, and you're throwing a screen pass this way for a loss.
Well, yeah.
How many times did we not cover it the last show?
Yeah.
How many times are we throwing it this way, not this way?
Right.
The end zones are this way, north and south,
right.
Not east and west, dude. I'm like, I literally slammed the seat in front of me at the stadium, and I was like, if I see, and I was standing up, and the guy behind me was like, you're passionate. I was like, if I see one more, sideline pass, I'm coming down there with the clipboard and doing it. I was enraged. I was frustrated, fed up. Stop throwing these little ding a dunk. I mean, seriously, what gives?
I know.
I'm frustrated. You can sense it. I've had it. Like, you just can't win a football game. It's just like they're laying down.
Yeah.
Like, you're not setting Joe up. Joe has a cannon. Throw it down the field. What did we do in Oakland? First play, 52-yard catch to Wallace. What did Joe Flacco right down the field? What? He threw a pass. What? Not east and west, but north and south to Chris Moore for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Throw it north and south.
I mean, it felt like Joe didn't even get a first down for the first three quarters of the game.
But it's frustrating,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
And you do so, you wanted to do so good with so little.
Right.
And I'm not making – you can make excuses, but – come on, dude. When you have a lot of people on IR, how successful can you be?
All right. So, yeah, that's very true. I agree with you. But great coaches and great staff and great players can get past those injuries. So with the let's talk about the wide receiver core right here, okay? So you have Joe Flacco. He's got no targets. Now, this past offseason, you let Kamar Aiken go. And Steve Smith, he retired. Well, he retired, 2 years ago? Was it last year? It was last year. Was it just last year?
Yeah, it was.
It was. Okay. First.
All right, seems like feel eons ago.
Right. But you have Mike Wallace, who had him and Joe got along pretty well last year. After Mike Wallace, you have Rashad Perryman, who was known to have bad knees and get hurt a lot. And that showed in his first rookie season. Right. Then you signed Jeremy Maclin, even though Maclin is a talent. There's a reason why he got let go from other teams. It's because he can't stay healthy. So you're putting all your eggs in this basket of bad knees, constantly hurt. Mike Wallace, who's a little bit older, potentially could get hurt. And you even look at the tight end, Ben Watson, who's 37. Why are you bringing these players in to work with Joe and counting on them when in the past they have shown they can't stay healthy and they can't be counted on for a full season?
It's a great point.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's a great point. Maybe you don't have to make excuses, but here, thinking outside the box or even thinking off the cuff, maybe they believe, maybe they can get over that. Maybe they can put them in this game. The Ravens wouldn't financially invest in somebody as a business, as a football team, if they felt like they couldn't help their team win.
Right.
That's just how I feel. And how I've always viewed the team. And they're smart people. They're businessmen. You know, Ozzy built some teams. Architect, we can blame him for some draft busts here or that, but everything's not perfect. How many other 31 teams have draft busts?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, look at the Raiders picking, like, DeMarcus Russell, number one overall, bust. You know, how many players I can find right now that other teams are a bust?
Yeah.
That's just our team.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cursed at the wide receiver position. Perryman, you know, we drafted Sergio Kindle. He fell downstairs. I mean, you can keep going on and on and on about these players.
Right.
First-round bust. You know, Mark Clayton. You know, Travis Taylor. Kyle Bowler. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, it's a long, long list, but other teams are there too. We're not the only team. It's like, it feels like it because I guess we put on the purple glasses and drink the purple Kool-Aid and we don't really look, but look at other teams. I said, like, the IR, Aaron Rodgers for the Packers are out. Odell Beckham's out. Two of the biggest stars in the game are out this year.
Yeah.
Brady was out 1 year with his knees. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
Julio Jones is sometimes out. A lot of these players, I mean, wasn't Le'Veon Bell, wasn't he out a few games?
Mm-hmm.
LaDainian Tomlinson was out for the playoffs for the Chargers. It happens. Just reaching back in history here. I mean, again, you want to stay healthy, and I felt like if we were the healthiest team,
yeah.
I always felt like the healthiest and hottest team gets into the playoffs and makes noise. Ravens are rarely ever healthy. They get hot at sometimes the weirdest times, but it's too little too late. But it's like the game. It's like now you decide to go down the field. Where was that all game? It's like – it's like everything's just – it was just – I thought it was going to be a great field goal kicking contest. It was back and forth. And it sucks because of when that touchdown run happened, it was like they're not coming back from that because it was like the first to break that that goal line
yeah.
was winning the game. And what's funny, as you mentioned, is how we invite somebody – not invite somebody back, but we have somebody back from an injury, Brandon Williams. Looked great. Run stopping. He was in the backfield making plays, and we still let a long run.
A lot.
And it's Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray. I thought it was Adrian Peterson out there for a minute, and I forgot he got traded and let go to the team. But Latavius Murray, really? I mean, it's just – I don't know, man. I mean, this offense is broken. I don't know if it needs to change at the top, the middle, or the personnel scheme. It's all a mess.
Yeah.
It's all scary. I mean, we're in Halloween season. It's scary. I mean, I'd rather – my fear of spiders, but I don't know if spiders or this offense is scarier. I mean, ugh.
Yeah.
I would pick the spiders because I hate them. but geez, man, seriously, something's got to give.
I don't know who to blame for the offensive problems here because this past game against the Vikings, not Joe's fault. I mean, Joe was doing everything he could. The offensive line sucked. I don't know how you have Marshall Yanda out and Jermaine Illuminor taking his spot. It's not working. Jermaine Illuminor is showing.
I guess Yanda was that big of an impact.
I really do. Like I go
one
back,
player, one player.
Yeah, I go back to that first week, Ed Reed talking about Yanda and saying this is like having Joe Flacco taken out for the rest of the season. It's going to affect the team that much. And I'm like, can it really? Yes, it 100% can.
I let it go the first 2 weeks, but now I'm starting to believe that number 73 is the true MVP.
Yeah, and
I have to.
This
I mean,
team,
something's attributing to why we're right now the second worst.
We are now the worst passing offense now.
This is night and day. I was even talking about it during the game. I'm like, we do so many good things in Oakland. I watched the highlights again.
Yeah.
I went back and watched the highlights while I was waiting for my flight. And I'm like, what went wrong?
Yeah.
It's Flacco was being blocked. Ryan Jensen had a great grade. Ronnie Stanley had a great grade. He didn't get touched. He was clean. Pocket was clean. But I know he had Macklin that game. But
yeah.
But what gives? Then you remember the play. Macklin. He was scrambling. Looks like Joe was going to get sacked for a 10-yard loss. He gets out of it and throws a little rope to Macklin for a first down. I'm like, where's that play? And then Joe just under duress all day. Every third down, he was sacked. It seemed like every third down. I mean, I know the Vikings only had 5 sacks all day, but I'm like, they should have 15.
Yeah.
It seems like every third down, you knew it was coming. You could get up, go get your popcorn, go to the bathroom, whatever. And then the Ravens not amassing a sack for the second straight week. That's surprising given that we're healthy in that regard,
yeah.
But we can't get pressure.
Where is the pass rush? I mean, Terrell Suggs is being held back. Where is Matt Judon? CJ Mosley?
Team is completely night and day from a team that and I even talked about it to my friends after the game when we were chilling in our hotel room for a while. I was like, what happened? I said, not to take anything from the Bengals, but they have A.J. Green who's giving us fits and Andy Dalton. What happened to the team? We go on the road, not at home, but on the road, and blank the Bengals 20-0. We come home and barely let the Browns score any points. You go to London, I can get over London, okay? I can forgive that. I can forgive Steelers beating us. Hey, we weren't there either.
Yeah.
But the last few games, apart from the Raiders game, the Bears in this game, no excuses.
No.
You let a rookie quarterback come in and do what he did.
Yeah, these two teams... completely winnable teams to go against.
Not to discredit. It's the NFL. These guys are competitive. It's great teams. But these are winnable games.
Yes.
We didn't lose again, we got trounced by Jacksonville and got trounced by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can live with those losses.
Right.
But when the way this weekend went with the field goal contest and then that one touchdown was the difference, it's like I looked at my buddy Tony. I was like, it's like we're down 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well have been. I think it was 12, but we were down 20. Because it was like – they can't do anything. Like, they can't.
No.
And it was like, no matter. And I'm like, yeah, believe. And I don't know what happened last week. They came back and all that on the Bears. But I don't know, man. I'm not giving up hope, but it's like, you just want to throw your hands in the air and like, really?
But like, there's no, you don't want to give up hope, even though, let me tell
Never.
You, I know a ton of people that have given up on the Ravens this season.
I know.
But like,
they'll be back when we start winning.
Exactly.
Cheers. We'll be back. We'll welcome you back.
Yeah.
We're here.
Fair weather fans are always the best, but
they're here.
But so you have offensive problems, ton of injuries. You have the team that was built through the draft, everything to be a big defensive team. They're not coming out the way. I mean, you know, Bronson Cafusi, he's not really panning out to be the guy that they thought he was. I mean, it could be a couple other.
Maybe we should throw this offense in the dumpster like Braun Strowman.
He could do that.
Just take him out. Take out the trash. Let's get some new players in.
But besides that, I mean, where is the time management? I mean, Harbaugh has never been good with time. He's always done poorly. But look at what happened. The end of the first half this week, and then the end of regulation last week. Both times they were rushing to spike the ball to get Tucker out there, and then they lost track of time and it didn't happen. Yep.
And what about the end of the game?
Two weeks in a row.
What about the end of the game this week when I don't know why they were looking to try to score a touchdown when it didn't matter?
Yeah,
weird. It was like 14 seconds left, and they're walking up to the line.
There's no urgency, there's no care.
Well, and I told a Vikings fan this, sitting in front of me, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, see why your team is better? See why? At the end of the first half, I don't even remember what the Vikings did, okay? They ran a play. It was under a minute. They ran a play. It was 36 seconds on the game clock, and the play clock was at 34 seconds. What would the Ravens would have done, Brandon? What would they have done? What would they have done?
Looked around at the skies, found a butterfly, played with that instead.
Yep, and let the clock run out to halftime.
Right.
Or whatever. It was basically the play clock, it was where the play clock and the game clock would have, you know, because I just remember saying it out loud. I'm like, no, because the play clock would expire. It was wherever the timing was.
Right.
The game clock would have expired before the play clock, whatever it was. I just was caught up in the moment. But I told him that. I said, but the Vikings went up to the line, ran a play, and I feel like, if I remember correctly, it was a first down throw to Adam Thielen. I remember that. And it didn't really matter. They got up. It was 4 seconds left. They couldn't really do much, and it was halftime. And I said, it didn't amount to anything, but I said, see the time management difference? It's like, instead of letting the clock run, it maximize your time.
Right.
You can't get it back.
Right.
Save your timeouts for when you need, especially when you play close, stupid football games all the time.
Yeah.
And just maximize your time. But It's like they get one play. It's like they have a whole 2 minutes before the next play. It's like, oh, let's go get something to eat. Let's go get a beer. Let's go to the restroom. It's like, what gives? Let's go. It's like,
let me tell you
no fire. It's like, we're 3-4 now. Let's go. Like
the guy who bothers me the most player wise for the time management stuff, Ryan Jensen. That dude needs to get his head in the game because all the time he is jawing, mouthing off to somebody on the opposing team, getting into fights, grabbing jerseys, that kind of stuff. Instead of looking at the clock going, oh, we got to hurry up. The clock's rolling. We've got 14 seconds left. We got to spike the ball. Now he's jawing off at somebody. You can't really talk a lot of trash if you're not doing anything. I don't like that he does that. So this Vikings game, another one from this season I'd like to forget. And it was not fun. I'm sure you had a blast at the game.
Oh, I had a blast.
I went to Jimmy's Seafood. It was not fun to be there. Like,
how was it?
People left.
Wow.
Halftime, people were like, well, I'm done, and just completely walked out.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook. Like, I have better things to do my Sunday to watch this garbage. I'm like,
my buddy, it's going to happen.
You start playing bad, them seats are going to start being more empty and empty. And we're not talking other stuff going on, but I'm telling you, it's getting to the point to where you're right. Again, you don't want to be fair weather. I know winning fixes it all, my friend here, but when you're playing so bad and they don't recognize it, like you just can't.
Yeah.
It's sickening to just sit there and go, I wasted all my time and energy to watch you do the same mundane thing every week.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 4, we're gonna run a screen pass. Oh, we're not, I'm there. Now I'm there for just the environment and just hanging out. I'm already expecting to lose on Thursday.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
My buddy Dom came over last night to watch the TLC pay-per-view, and he was like, how was the game? I'm like, well, you didn't watch it? He goes, no. I was like, what, do you have to work or something? He goes, no, I just didn't feel like watching that crap. He's like, I watched reruns of Criminal Minds instead. And I'm like, instead of the Ravens? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to watch it. I'm like, wow. All right. I mean, he was a diehard fan for the longest time. It's crazy, but... Anyway, I mean, let's talk. All right, so we're going to do we've reviewed this Vikings game. Now we're going to talk a little preview since it's on Thursday. We're going to do like a super show this week for the call.
Red Eye Review, Purple Friday Preview, all in one. I love it.
All in one. So we're going to talk about the Dolphins and the Ravens Thursday night game. Of course, the biggest thing coming out of Sunday, Jay Cutler looks like he cracked some ribs and he's going to be out. He's going to at least
be fine.
He's going to at least miss Thursday's game.
Well, it's because it's a short week. I think if this was a Sunday, he probably would play, but yeah.
But the quarterback that came in after him, what was it, Matt?
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore. He actually, a lot of Dolphins fans are excited about
him. Led a comeback. They were down 20-14.
Yeah.
He came all the way back and won 31-28. So
this guy is a backup. He's got something to prove to show that he's not really a backup. What can we expect from Matt Moore on Thursday for the Ravens?
We can expect more of that, no pun intended, or all pun intended. No, we expect a quarterback who's going to do his job and do it well, and we got to stay in our lanes and attack him. I mean, again, that pass rush is not existent. We don't put pressure on this guy, it's over. I mean, Landry's going to be giving us fits. They got JJ. They got some good, wholesome players on offense, man. Their defense is no slouch. They got Cameron Week. They got some playmakers that Cameron, if he's going to be disruptive of our backfield on their defensive end. So, I mean, they have a good pedigree. They got a good head coach, young head coach. They got winning football right now. They're a playoff team from last year. The AFC East is competitive. The Jets, that was a big game for them, too.
The Jets are doing really
well. They are. I mean, Josh McCown's on my fantasy team, man, throwing some touchdowns, bro. I'm loving it. But it's just to see these teams do what they're doing, they're dangerous.
And yeah.
The way we're playing right now, here's how the game plan is going to work. The Purple Fry Preview is going to be about a minute. Here it is. Here it is. What's going to happen? First Ravens possession, three and out. It's going to be a sack on a third down. It's going to be like 3rd and 14. We get sacked. We let them go up down the field for a few possessions. They score some touchdowns and field goals. We're going to come down. It's like a 10-point game with like 6 minutes left. And we're going to be taking our time on the line. And it's going to be a big, huge 3rd and 2. And we're going to try to throw a screen pass to Buck Allen. It's going to get snuffed out. And we're going to go, what happened? End of game.
Wow.
So just give you a little rundown. You're going to see the same thing you saw on Sunday. Until they prove me wrong, that's what's going to happen.
I mean,
it's inevitable.
The only thing I can think of that's kind of something to look forward to for this Ravens offense is that Macklin was a game time decision. Like, he was on the field. He was,
still looking for it. I cannot find if he's playing Thursday because it's still new and still early in the week yet. They're not releasing it.
Yeah, they're still
getting back from the trip.
However, I think it was Ian Rappaport who was on the NFL and said that Macklin was, I mean, he was catching a couple balls before, you know, they were really on the field practicing.
I couldn't find what the injury was. It was pregame, and I'm looking at my phone drastically, and I know I can find it. What was the issue?
Is it his hand? I think it's his hand. I think there's something weird with his hand.
I know I posted it on our Facebook page. It was a rumored turf toe, but that was a couple fans behind me are saying that. I don't know. I can't find the extent of his injury. It's a mystery.
If you had turf toe and you were a hockey player, man, you wouldn't miss a shift.
I've seen people getting teeth knocked out, man. But, I mean, look, I've seen wrestlers get their Cesaro teeth knocked out. I've seen them gashed. They've been there.
Yeah.
Come on, toughen up, guys.
Macklin seems to be they tested it out, and they decided when he was on the field he wouldn't play. They were saving him for Thursday because it was a shortened week. So I think
– what better time than now? Save him for win. Another loss, let's go.
Right. I think we're going to see him Thursday. So I don't think we're going to see Mike Wallace. I think he's still going to be out with a concussion because that to hit your head on the field that hard without a helmet.
How funny do we play Mike Wallace's both former teams in like a short week?
Yeah, that's true. And he might not be able to play this one. But like
right.
He was looking, they took his helmet away. That's what he made him so angry. He was looking for his helmet. They wouldn't.
That's
give it to
probably
him.
What I saw.
Yeah,
because he was like animated.
He wanted it.
He wanted to hit somebody. I'm like, oh man, he's mad.
But when you have a concussion, you're not in your right mind. You're not what you're thinking. I don't think we're gonna see Mike Wallace.
This whole team
on
have a concussion.
Jeez, feels like it.
They're not in their right minds. Jeez, man.
Brashad Perryman. Who knows if he'll be back? And if
he's done,
if he's back,
he's done.
If he is back, what's it matter?
Griff Allen's a better quarterback. See, I'm messed up in the head, concussed. Griff Allen is a better wide receiver than Breshad Perryman, 100%.
All right, maybe we'll see him.
Chris Moore's got more touchdowns than Breshad Perryman this year.
Come on, Chris Moore.
Hey, he's looking better.
He is. Come on, buddy.
Come on, give me a Moore jersey, number 10. Let's go.
What's Kamar Aiken to? Can we get him back from Indianapolis?
Oh, they look atrocious. Did you see what the Jaguars did to them?
Yeah.
Big time.
Bad. Yeah.
I don't know if I say the quote speaking of that. You know, I don't know if you saw what T.Y. Hilton said.
No.
Let me find it. I don't even know if I have the quote. But he called out his team. I don't have it. Oh, I didn't save it. Yeah, he called out the Colts.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're saying Andrew Luck's now not going to be back until after Thanksgiving. He's got some complications from whatever surgery he had in the offseason, something that's going wrong. So going to be a little bit while until Indy gets their quarterback back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Yeah, so the Dolphins, it's a short week. I'm hoping Macklin comes back for Joe's sake. We still don't know anything about Terrence West. Really, we're doing this show Monday at noon, so there's very little information from the Sunday games of how they're going to really impact. All we really know is that Jay Cutler is likely not playing.
Right.
I mean, it is like 80-20 that he's not playing right now. So it'll be interesting to see that. But Brian Billick was on a radio show earlier this morning and was talking about how the Dolphins and the Ravens gel well together when they face each other because they're very similar teams. That the Dolphins have their offense isn't that good. That they I'll do a lot of third and outs and you know, so maybe this defense will actually show up in this game because the offense for the Dolphins is so much like the team they face in practice.
You know, that's a good point. They mirror each other, and I've always seen that through the years. I mean, they've had some great epic battles.
Yeah.
I mean, from the playoff games we've had with them to some crazy regular season games. I mean, we blew them out last year. It was this
and last
this
year
team.
Sucked. But
yeah, you're right. This last year sucked, but they trounced them. It wasn't even a contest, and that was where Perryman took off in that one play. So I mean. Right. We've had games where they've been close, and we've had games that have been blowouts on either side. We've had some epic moments. We were part of their 1-15 campaign where we were their only win.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that was Billick's last.
And that was Cam Cameron's head coaching job, and he came here. So we've had some moments.
Yeah.
And still a storied franchise, all said and done. Thursday Night Football, it's going to be great, man. And, you know, it's going to be a solid matchup for both teams because in both divisions, the Ravens need a must win now more than ever. I was reading some stuff on the way home and on my flight, and it's interesting to see how there's a positive spin on this. I mean, you still want to remain positive,
right?
But the gist of the media was saying what I was reading was saying how the season the Ravens are not eliminated from the playoffs by any stretch at 3-4. They're not even close to being mathematically. There's so many. They have over half the season.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, we're only in week 7. Week 8's next night. So, I mean,
about
we have
two quarters
of
the way through, right?
Yeah, we're about the halfway point. So you have 9 games left.
Wow.
I mean, you win 6 out of 9. It's 6-3. Okay.
Yeah.
The Ravens are 3-4. 6. That's 9-7 campaign. Even go, 7-2, and you're talking at 10-6. I mean, not to say it can happen, but it's got to start this week to get back to 4-4. You have 11 days off. Play Titans. I mean. No Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau, could that be a win? So you look at those things, take it game by game. Pittsburgh's obviously lost. The Houston Texans has probably lost some money. I mean, it's tough. We have a bye week coming up in a couple weeks after that. So, I mean, you got the Dolphins on Thursday night. We go to Tennessee in 11 days. Then we have a bye.
Yeah.
We go to Lambeau with no Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And then we come home against the Houston Texans team on Monday Night Football. No J.J. Watt, but they got a dynamic duo in the rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson, who's absolutely amazing to watch.
Right.
This year's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's doing some special things, especially this past weekend with him and Zeke and what they did in San Fran. And that's going to be a huge game. Then you got the Lions. You got the Lions at home. Who knows what that game is? Steelers away. That's a big fat L. Mm. Let's just put an XL on that and just call it it. And Browns at home. No, it's a Browns away, sorry. Win, Colts at home, win, Bengals at home. It could be 3 straight wins in the year there.
I mean, there's some very winnable games if this team wants to win.
You
that's
count
the thing.
The last 3 of the year, Browns, Colts, and Bengals.
Yeah.
Packers with no Aaron Rodgers, 4. It's 4. 4 wins. We're at 3, that's 7.
You're right.
It's going to take at least probably 10 for the wild card, especially some tiebreakers, because Jacksonville owns a tiebreaker. Still got to play Pittsburgh with a head-to-head. We're 2 games out of division. Pittsburgh's 5-2, and we're 3-4. The records look weird when you put them side-by-side, but it's only 2.5 games because they beat us. But not all hope is lost.
Right.
We win this week, Steelers lose on Sunday, whoever they play, right back in it. I mean, you have to look at the arms race. It's not all hope is lost, but it'd be different if there's 4 games left in where it's like, okay, what do we do?
Right.
Let's see if we can get through November and see what we can do. But you got to take it week by week. But it's got to start against the Dolphins. We got to take them to the woodshed. We got to get it right under the lights in M&T Bank. Whether that's going to give them a spark of hope, And I really hope the crowd shows up for it. I know it's a weeknight.
Yeah.
It's Thursday Night Football. I do know a lot of people are still going to the game. Now, right now they are. But we need the fan. I mean, that's what made the experience in Minnesota a lot, because the fan experience was loud in that stadium.
Yeah.
You know, the players are interacting with the fans with their chant and you know, and on the screen. And I feel like this is what makes it. I mean, I know there's a lot of excuses out there. The team's bad. There's money. But when you're supporting a team and you go to these games, especially at Thursday night games, there's nothing better than the night games there. And I love it, and I can't wait to be there.
Yeah. All right. So have we covered everything?
Man, this
the whole week.
This was a whole week. Whole weekend's worth of fun, agony of defeat here, and we got a winnable game here. We got to take it to the Dolphins. I can't stress this enough. And I'm a firm believer. I really think this one's going to be a win for us.
All right.
I'm going to call it here how it is. I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it a 3-point win because I just feel like it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it 23-20 Ravens. I feel like this is the game that they kind of come back home. They know it's a short week. I feel like the Ravens know at home. This was an away game. Obviously, they're not going to do two road games back-to-back on a Thursday and Sunday combination. But the Ravens being desperate. If they go to 3-5 and lose a third, would it be a third straight at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, that's weird. Wow, yeah, that can't happen.
All right, well, I
guess. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, there we go.
I slipped that in.
If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing cool information. Just announced last night, Justin Timberlake is the halftime show for the Super Bowl.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's almost tempting for me to actually go back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at the site of this year's Super Bowl, and I'm like, it's going to be cool to watch on TV and go, hey, I sat there. I wonder who's in my seat now.
And that seat is probably like,
I was about to say,
a couple $1,000 now.
$2,500 more expensive than I paid for my seat.
Do you think Janet Jackson will be a part of his halftime show this time?
I don't think she's invited.
All right. Well,
maybe Alexa Bliss. I know you'll love that too much. I got to stop it.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. Don't forget that we are on YouTube for this episode, so you can check it out. We've got some footage from the Vikings game you can check out over on our YouTube page, so check us out over there. And don't forget, if you have an Amazon Echo, you can listen to us through your Alexa app or whatever on TuneIn. She's listening to me right now. She just lit up. Alexa, stop. Thank you. All right. So that is pretty much it for the show, both shows this week. So on to the Dolphins. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
On to the Dolphins. Thanks, Brandon, man. It was a action-packed weekend. Didn't get it done, so little, so close, but it just shows you just got to put it all together and have to believe in the product and the system you have, and when it's broken, you got to fix it. And right now, this team is broken as any on a lot of facets of the team and the game, and I don't know. I don't know what the cure is. Like I say, we can sit here and play doctors
rebuild all
day long. I mean, hey, I think that's the way to go. Everybody was saying, I'm running for draft position now. Not to say the team's going to lose out, but I see their point. You don't want a 15-16 middle row pack and go 8-8 or 7-9.
Yeah.
You know, I want a 4-12 record and let's go get a top five pick this year and help us out. But, you know, I'm not in for tanking, and I know no NFL team would do that royally or religiously or anything like that. But it's just got to get better. I mean, you know, the coach speak's got to stop. You got to start calling people out where it is. Hey, so-and-so's got to play better. Why not bench a few players? Why not threaten them? I mean, I know they're paid grown athletes, and they can care less. They're not college kids or scared, but you got to put the fear in them. You know, you got to go want it. Some players look like they want it out there, and some don't. And I can point out, and I call it names of who wants it because I can see it on the play. I can see it on the field. And I know you guys can too, and it's frustrating. But stick with it. It's Ravens football. You got to enjoy it. These games are few and far between. I love them. I love them to death. But, man, do they make me mad. And it's just like just because it's a definition of insanity. We're doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And the result's not there. If you're not winning these games, it's not working. Third and four, you got to call better play. You just got to call better plays in situations and learn from your mistakes. And I feel like the Ravens aren't learning, and it's got to happen. Want to give a shout-out to Rickard Olsen. I know he's in town. I tweeted him waiting, and he's from Sweden.
Oh, cool.
So I'm waiting to hear back. He flew in for the Thursday night football game.
Nice.
So another call listener looking to, you know, have some good, wholesome fun and tailgating and just enjoy the atmosphere. Hope the weather's going to be good for us. I haven't looked at it yet, but hopefully it's going to be good.
I haven't heard anything.
I've been in Minnesota, so yeah. I've been, you know, so I'm really. And another thing is, too, is we were educating the all the Canadians and the Minnesotans and of different accents, and we were doing some renditions of Baltimore accents, and then it was great. So it was pretty cool up there. But again, just a treat to be up there. Another successful road trip, not game wise, but again, you got to make it what it is. And I know a lot of people, hey, they got beat a lot worse in London and paid a lot more money for that. But you got to take the experiences and what it is and the sights and sounds and just take it in and enjoy the ride. That being said, short week, Thursday night football. Prime time. Let's get it done. Baltimore Ravens. Let's come on, guys. Are you going to fly high? Let's fly high. Come on.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.